With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, there's nothing happening. Shit. I know.
This is me.
Are we on? Can anybody hear? Yeah, okay. Sorry, a bit of a mix up there.
Yes, what a great start.
I made a mess of it. So you've been probably watching us talking and knowing how the show starts before we go. Welcome. to the Gallon Few podcast tonight. My name's David Tomlinson. I'll be running the show, hopefully not making a mess of it up like I've just done. With me tonight, we've got a good show of David Pollock. David, how are you?
I'm smashing, Dave. Yeah, we were over at Ibrox today for, you know, a quarter-final tie against Raith Rovers, and pretty much it went as per the script. So wasn't a stunning performance, but I think we were always in control. Got the three goals, I think. Most of us, some of us had predicted 3-0. 3-0 is what we got. So mustn't grumble, although I'm sure we'll get squeeze a few in.
Okay. Second person is the Curry Muncher himself. First of all, I want to ask you, where did Curry Muncher come from?
I'm mad curry lover. I love curries. I could have them every night, all kinds. The hotter, the better. I've always said, if your ears don't bleed and you lose all feeling in your face, it's not hot enough. So that's where it came from. So it's like, I'm a total curry muncher. and know the thing that a lot of people come out with, they say, what, the racist thing? I'm like, whatever. No, but that's where it's fae. How are you doing, my man?
I'm fine, how are you?
The game was a hard watch today, wasn't it? It was a hard watch. Good result. I mean, we've got into the next round, but as a spectacle, it was not good. Just a wee hi-ya to everybody, to Nick, Caroline, Aldo, Teddy Bear, all the usual ones that come in and watches. I mean, hope you have a good night and enjoy the show with myself and the three amigos.
Okay, and last but not least is Bill. Second performance tonight. How are you feeling?
Yes, very well, good sir, thank you. Good result today. If you'd offered me that before the game, 3-0 and into the draw, I'd have taken that. But as Davey says, it wasn't a spectacular watch. And I love a curry myself, although the ear bleeding is a bit extreme. I like to just get a good sweat on, perhaps.
Okay, I'll let you all know what actually happened. Colin, you notice that Colin's not on tonight. Colin got in touch with me during the week, and he said, I'm going to Barra for the weekend with my girlfriend. He says, will you do the pod, set it up? I said, okay, no problem. I've never done it before, but I thought I would do it. But yesterday afternoon, we got on the WhatsApp. He told us in a sort of cryptic way, you'll be going to a stag night shortly. Some words to that effect. So we all know now that Colin is in Barra, and he's already asked his girlfriend to marry him. So that's where he's at the moment. So going on to the game, the team selection. Davey, when you heard the team selection, what did you think?
Pretty much as expected. We thought that he would go with a similar team to Wednesday, if not exactly the same team. And we only had one change, so we had John Lundstrom coming in for Ryan Jack, which you would have thought, you know, against Raith Rovers, you know, should be doable. Should be able to cope with that. We had a particularly strong bench today, I thought. You know, there wasn't many of the youngsters on the bench. We had a complement of seasoned pros, you know, to which we eventually utilised, you know, in the game. Yeah, so no, I think he had been stung by the Partick Thistle, you know, in the last tie, and making, you know, I think it was four or five changes he'd made for that, he said he would go with the tried and tested, so that's exactly what he did. And we had, you know, he made the substitutions later on. I think it pretty much went to script, as I said.
Yeah. And Mark, what did you think of them? What did you think of your first thoughts?
As David said, it was as expected. A bit surprised that he went for two defending midfielders. But I didn't think he'd put Jack on, so the natural replacement is Demi Lundstrom. The one thing that I did take notice of was somebody who was missing for the bench, and that was Matondo. He was on the bench last week, but no appearance for some reason this time. So I don't know. I've not seen much of the after game presser, so I don't know if any of the guys in there used their common sense and actually asked a decent question other than the usual. So I don't know what happened with Matondo. But I think we all knew what was going to happen, and Lundstrom we'll get into later on. But it was as expected.
Yeah, and Bill, what was your thoughts when you read the team? Same as the rest?
Sort of. I only surprise was Lundstrom in for Jack. I liked how Jack played against the Bernian the other night. Thought he was really, really good. Lundstrom coming in, you know, as Mark said, I'm a bit surprised that we needed that shield for the defence. I don't necessarily think it's required against a team like Raith Rovers. Also good to see the likes of Redvan Yilmaz and Hadji coming back to the bench and actually, you know, looking at getting onto the park for a little while.
Yeah, my thoughts are exactly the same. When I seen Lundstrom's name on the sheet, I thought, why against Raith Rovers, why do we need a sitting midfielder, which virtually Raskin is as well. So why do we need two defensive midfielders in the team? That was my very first thoughts on it. But the game started, and then 2 minutes in, Connor Golson mispassed the ball to the centre forward. Islamer, I think he's called. And he hit it from the halfway line. Davey, was your underpants still white when you had them on? When you saw that ball?
Well, it obviously spotted McGregor, who was outside the 18-yard box, So, and off it went. But it was an audacious effort, you'd have to say. Because the ball just kind of broke to him, and he spotted the opportunity, launched it. I think in the end it went, you know, a few feet wide. But I think had it been on target, then that would have been a goal. That would have been some effort. But it just... it's just shows what happens, eh? The ball breaking to them and the guys get the force right, they just have a welly at it. McGregor, I think, had resigned himself to it being a goal had it gone on target, because his effort to scramble back wasn't difficult too much. So it was just a question of getting on target. But yeah, just a wee reminder, you know, that there are two teams in this tie, which was maybe served a good purpose. But I think Rangers, you know, were ultimately in control, and I really couldn't see any other result. There was nothing I saw today that suggested that Raith Rovers were going to cause much problem. You know, that if it had been, you know, it would have been something of a freak goal, but you know, it would have been some goal, one for the YouTube reel, but. No, we were never in any danger, David.
No, I didn't. Well, they came out two or three times in the second half, and they actually were quite dangerous two or three times, but they only came out two or three times. That was it, the whole game. So, Mark, what did you think? Did you think that one was going in, or did you? Were you?
When I was watching it, I distinctly think. Remember thinking, I'm like, he's going to get this wrong, because I could see him. You could see he was ready to take that pass on, and I'm like, that player's going to get that, and obviously he did. Then he just hoofs it right over, and we've got the ever energetic Griggsy minus his Zimmer frame scrambling back. I just think it's an absolute disgrace that Rangers have not got a duty of care for Alan McGregor and no bottom of a mobility scooter yet for exact situations like this. So I don't know what's going on with Rangers. They need to sort themselves out. But aye, it was I think that was the one in the first half, it was the one and only time that Raith Rovers even had a sniff at goal. You said they looked dangerous. As dangerous as a chihuahua with no teeth.
Oh well, I've not got a chihuahua, thanks. And I've got teeth. That's the one thing. Going on, Bill. I'm going to get Curry's favourite on first. You thought Borna Barisic had a good game. So what was your? It was man of the match. Rangers man of the match. What's your thoughts on it?
Yep, I thought it was really good. Was spent pretty much the entire time that he was on the pitch, camped just to the left of Raith Rovers' 18-yard box, fizzed across a number of excellent crosses, I thought. Unfortunately, there was nobody gambling to get in there and actually get a head on it, for the most part. But, you know, I thought Barisic played really well. He was fearless. He was getting little one-twos with Kent. He was coming down, picking up the ball, beating a man, putting a cross in. I noted at one point that he'd put an excellent cross in on his right foot as well, which you don't often see for Barisic. He's one of the most one-footed players I've ever seen. So, yeah, I thought he was really good. I don't know if man of the match was a bit strong. I don't know if I'd have picked Barisic, but good performance.
Okay, Dave, what was your thoughts on that? Because obviously Curry's been watching a different game than we've been watching.
I thought Borna was doing okay. He was getting plenty of the ball. He was getting crosses into the box, none of which amounted to much. I mean, a couple of half chances, but he was, there was a few times when Borna was actually sprinting down the touchline, which was always a good sign, is that he's positive. And I thought we were, I think their central defenders, obviously they'd packed the box. And the amount of corners, crosses that we had in, their centre-halves are just knocking them out, intercepting the crosses. So I would have liked to see us cause a wee bit more chaos in their penalty box. It was all just a wee bit too... I think patience was the word of the day, because, you know, I think it's the same script as most of the borders when they turn up at Ibrox. You know, defend, 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 get the ball out, launch it to the halfway line. Anything they get in our half's an absolute bonus. Just hold it to 0-0 for as long as they can. Do the time-wasting thing, you know, fall over, cloth over. It's the time-worn, age-old playbook, you know, when they come to Ibrox, and Raith Rovers were no different. So they had come with an agenda. But the good news there is that we know they're going to come and do that. So the onus is on us to try and break it down. And I think we were plodding away, you know, making half chances, a couple of strikes in goal. But I think it was just be patient. And eventually we got the breakthrough. And then as soon as the first one goes in, and Raith Rovers, you would say that it was almost like they didn't even flinch, because when they went 1-0 down, they just played exactly the same way, which kind of gives you a wee telltale of the level of their ambition. I think it was get to Ibrox, you know, enjoy the day out, keep it to a respectable score and get back up the road. Take half the gate, you know, take a wee prize home with them. It was no more than that. I would have thought Raith Rovers should have had a wee bit more ambition, but Ian Murray elected to do otherwise. So I thought we were pretty much in control and comfortable. I think it may have been a slightly different team talk had we gone in at 0-0. Because obviously we've waited until 42 minutes before we made the breakthrough. But once we did make the breakthrough, I think we were just going, to a certain extent, just going through the motions.
Yeah, in the last few weeks, I've watched Darvel out Aberdeen. I've watched in the Dutch Cup, I've watched an amateur team, Spakenburg, out Utrecht. And then I see Raith Rovers turning up. It's their one game a season. They're big match for the whole season, because in the league, they're sitting seventh, so they're not going to really do much there. And they just turn up to sit in their own box. I don't really understand it. I would have thought they would have come out and had a crack at us and hope for the best. And if you get beat 5-0, then they're tough. If you are 6-0, no, that's the way. I'm really, really surprised and a bit disappointed, really. But Mark, I'll give you your big chance now. Give us it on Borna Barisic.
Borna Boren Barisic. That's what it should be. BBB. No BB. He's just so boring. It's the same stuff week in, week out. Whips the ball in. Yes. Nobody there. Brilliant pass. Then he came out in the second half. And he stopped doing that. He was running down the line, ready to whip it in. When we did have players in the box, and he stalls, comes back, then either plays the ball and it's too late when they've got 11 men there, or he was passing the ball back. And I was getting so, so frustrated with him. I'm not saying that he was garbage. I'm just saying he was had a frustrating game. It just seems to me that if it doesn't go 100% his way, he just becomes lazy. And I'm not talking about lazy as in physical. I'm talking about lazy in the way that he thinks about the way he's playing his football. Because it's the same thing over and over again. And that's my problem with him. And I think we've seen quite a big difference in the second half when Yilmaz came on. And obviously, again, we'll talk about that later. But there was a significant change in the tempo as well, and what we were trying to do when Yilmaz came in. But the ball that he put in for the first goal, it was perfect. So for me, it was probably a 6.5 to 7 at max out of 10 for him. So I can't complain too much, but he certainly was the man of the match. By far, there was only one guy that deserved man of the match in that game, and no doubt we will talk about him. So that's my thoughts.
Okay. Well, for me, the man of the match was actually for Raith Rovers, the guy Tom Lang, the defender. He got everything away, he headed everything away, and that shot from Tavernier that he headed away, oh, that must have given him a headache from here to next Christmas.
I'm surprised you never fell down and then you started complaining.
Yeah, well, that's true. But he certainly never. I mean, I think, was it Davies got a glass of water and a tablet or something like that? I was expecting him to get a glass of water and a tablet, to be honest with you. One of the players that I thought was terrible today was Ryan Kent. Well, what did you think of him?
Didn't do much at all. And, you know, it's one of these things where when you play against the Diddy teams, Kent can often be marked out of the game. He can often have two or three guys on him. And sometimes he's got a way of using that to make space for the other players, but he didn't do very much at all today. A lot of the touches that he did have didn't come off for him. Things he was trying didn't work. Didn't really look at any point as if he could beat a man. I think, did he have a shot as well and he skied it? Yeah, he wasn't great at all today.
I think the setup was completely different, and that's probably why Lundstrom was on, because I think the idea was to get the two backs, playing as wingers, really, and so as they would get crosses into the box. But as Curry says, if there's nobody in the box, there's no point in keep pumping the balls in. But the other player that's sort of didn't really get into the game very much with Sakala. Dave, what did you think of him?
Yeah, I think both, you know, come up against a packed defence. You know, there's very little room to play with. You know, both of these guys, you know, with a bit of pace, will be looking for get behind them, get a bit of space, you know, and run at them and try and make things happen. So clearly none of that existed. So it was all very tight, congested, and it was 2 and 3 yard passes. A lot of time taking the ball with their back to goal with the defender right behind them, you know, so it made for a kind of long afternoon for both of these players. And it's predictable, because we know exactly what we're walking into when Raith Rovers show up, you know, because I would say that Raith Rovers, you know, they had very limited ambition, but I think the Ian Murray had injury issues, and I think, I mean, some of the guys they had out there looked like teenagers to me, but they certainly applied themselves. They were well organised. It's not their job to be making, you know, life easy for the likes of Ryan Kent and Fashion Sakala, and they didn't, and they tried valiantly. But it makes for a long afternoon, you know, for Rangers just trying to batter the door down. And eventually it was going to take something, you know, really special for them to go through the whole 90 minutes and Rangers not create something. And eventually we carved out the chances, took the chances, and hey presto, we're in the semi-final. But it's not a good watch. So I can kind of, I'll give Ian Murray a pass in terms of, you know, the level of ambition that he showed at Ibrox today, because I think they were a few players short, and you could see from the team that he had on and their subs, you know, who were on the pitch at half-time, they were into the youth policy very much in terms of supplying a squad for that game today. So I suppose they would say mission accomplished. You know, we weren't embarrassed. So they got out of there with a level of respectability. But you would have thought that the Raith Rovers fans, who I felt a wee bit sorry for, gosh, I must be going soft, because they had brought a decent, you know, crowd down, and pretty much they had, other than they just, you know, sing at the Rangers fans, I think that was their afternoon, because they had nothing really to sing about as to what was happening on the pitch. So, but fair play to them for the turnout, because they would put most of the SPF, the Premiership clubs, to shame in terms of the crowd that they brought.
I'm afraid fans that sing about us being deed, I'm afraid they don't get much respect from me from that way. Curry, you were talking about there's only one man of the match. I'm interested to know who it is.
Cantwell. He ran all over that pitch yet again, chasing every ball, trying to make the link-ups. I just thought he was tremendous yet again. Can I go back to Kent and Sakala? Kent was awful. But Bill said, he was getting marked out the ball, sometimes three players in that. And normally maybe make a pass. He was doing that. And even he could even get by, excuse me, he couldn't even get by one player. He's a £7 million player, and he can't get by our one Raith Rovers player. There's something not right. I just thought he's the whole game. He was to pick up the ball, he was mistiming the rolls of the ball. I don't know how many, I think there were three or four balls in a row that Raskin put into him, and he was caught short, or he was trying, he was running out of position. He wasn't reading the game at all. I thought it was, I'd say, one of his poorest games this season. That's how bad he was. As for Fashion, and you all know how much I love that guy, absolutely love him to bits, he could do nothing. He had a really poor game as well. He couldn't use his pace. He's got 11 players in front of him. There's no chance he's going to run by them all. He struggled. He really, really struggled. And I was actually surprised he never got took off at half time. I didn't think he would have come out with the same team in the second half, actually. What I noticed about the whole thing was, once from again, very, very poor. We've got two defensive midfielders. The bad thing was, right from the start, we knew what was going to happen, because Goldson and Davies were pushing up further than Winsham. Winsham was the furthest guy back. So they were pushing forward so much. I mean, see, that's how they nearly ended up scoring, with that slack ball for Goldson. Because they were all pushed up that forward, and it's just, for me, I can't get by. I thought he had a brilliant game, and actually, a wee cameo for Yilmaz, I thought he done really well. But my man of the match for the game would be Cantwell. I don't know about you guys or what the guys in the chats think who their man of the match was. Can you let us know?
Oh, Bill, on you go. Who would you say?
Cantwell was up there, but for me it was Raskin, actually. I did like Cantwell's work rate. I think we had a conversation on WhatsApp recently where somebody said something along the lines of him being, they thought he might be a talented but lazy show pony, and I kind of worried about that when Cantwell came in as well, but you know, he puts in a shift. He was everywhere today. He was relentless in terms of trying to win the ball back, got a couple of good interceptions, made a lot of good passes, was looking for the ball every time it was on the go. But Raskin, I think, just edged it in terms of, again, getting interceptions. But what I noticed about Raskin today was he was fizzing in a lot of really good crosses as well in the box and actually finding a man quite often. No, the box was obviously had 8 or 10 Raith Rovers players in it, and when a man gets a ball in the box like that, it's difficult to do anything with it. But yeah, I think it was Raskin for me with Cantwell a close second.
Evie, what do you think? Have you got the same two, or is it, have you got a, are you going to shock us with your John, well, with John Winston?
No, not quite that far. No, but I think pretty much where Bill just called it is, I had it between Raskin and Cantwell, but I think I would have just plumbed for Cantwell just because. Just the amount of, you know, the movement all across the pitch. He pops up everywhere. He's always willing to make the run, try and take the ball. Some of them, you know, he doesn't get the ball, but I thought he showed, you know, just a wee bit of aggression as well. You know, when he did have the wee ding-dong with one of their players later on, and eventually managed to get himself booked in the process. But that's a good sign for me from Todd Cantwell, that he's not a shrinking violet. He's not going to be pushed around, not too much anyway. You know, because the chappie who had a wee pop at him, he then just returned to serve, you know, within about 2 minutes, which is, I like to see that in the players, that they'll they don't just sit back and take it all, that there's, they'll return the serve, as I said, you know, but it was lots of movement about. I think we were, it was small triangles, you know, round about their box. And then, you know, we had lots, I mean, the touches round about there. And eventually you just grind them down and we make the breakthrough. You know, so it's an element of luck, I think, is in that, you know, the ball will eventually break for a Rangers player. And as it did with the second goal, you know, when Tav puts the ball in, the guy has a mad swing at it and right over the keeper into the far corner, which And I think these things happen. You know, when they're playing that amount of football in their own penalty box, something's going to give. You know, it would have been an extreme result had Rangers not managed to make a breakthrough. Eventually, we did. But they just stuck to the game plan and got out of there with their dignity intact. And we're in the semi-final. So everyone's happy, I think, almost.
Yeah, well, I think they're happy with the... I know they've got really bad financial worries at the moment, so I think they'll be quite happy with, what was it, 41,000 that was at the game today. So that's probably them made up for that. Well, we were really struggling to get through, and then all of a sudden, in the 58th minute, I think, up steps... the first goal wasn't the 58th, it was before half-time. 38th minute must have been. Up steps Barisic with a corner, and he puts it right onto the head of Goulson. Now, what a rocket of a header he put into the net. Curry, what did you think? How did you see it?
Well, as I said, it was one of the things I praised Bonner on. It was fizzed in perfectly, and Goulson just reaches up, hits it with the head, and it goes in like a bullet. The goalkeeper wasn't doing anything with that. It was a brilliant goal. It was well taken. So I was well happy. It was long in coming, but as both Bill and Davey said, the game was just, it was so hard to watch because of the Rafe, but David said as well, about they don't need to come and play football against us. They had a game plan, and the game plan worked for 38 minutes because they stopped us. And there were some Rangers fans starting to get a bit cheesed off. You could hear some of the, when Rangers weren't going forward, you could hear them moaning and groaning. Especially, you could hear, what I don't know what about you, but you could hear one guy specifically shouting. That's how the atmosphere was today, because the atmosphere was absolute garbage today at the game. And I think we know why, and we will be touching on that. But I think if you're going to be coming to a big game like this, stop the bigger team, right? Try and stop them if you score, right? As soon as they score, right, we need to have a go. We need to at least try, especially later on the game. But Raith Rovers were so negative. It was a shame. And as David said as well, he felt sorry for their fans, because they came and they never tried. And that's the sad thing about it, because it would have been good if they showed a wee bit of heart, I think they lacked. And we never played, I don't think we played that well, to be honest with you. So maybe if they'd tried a wee bit harder, maybe they could have put us under a wee bit more pressure, because I don't think we were really, really, I would say it was maybe a 65% decent game for us.
Yeah, well, half time came, and I think it's the half time talk would have been a completely different talk than it would have been. The 41st minute was the first goal. The game started, we got to the 58th minute, and then quite a weird goal came, as Curry sort of mentioned, or Dave sort of mentioned, across from Tavernier, and the Raith Rovers player tried to clear it, but it zoomed into the net. How did you see that one, Bill?
Yeah, Tav comes in, early cross, the defender has a wild slash at it, and it ends up in the back of his own net. I was just sort of thinking, great for us, but poor guy. You know, you do, you sort of feel for somebody, because they've been playing backs against the wall the entire time, thinking, we're doing no bad here, you know, if we can keep this at 1-0, or however they're thinking. And then something like that, you know, because I think if you're McCall and your team's out there and, you know, maybe your game plan's to keep it to 1-0 until 75, 80 minutes and then come up the park, who knows? And you can probably deal with a wonder goal, the Rangers. You think, okay, that was a smashing goal. But something like that, you know, it's just a shame for the defender. But obviously, good for us, you know, gave us that wee boost that we needed. And it sort of, for me, I think it removed any niggling doubt that I had that Raith Rovers might come up the park and do something and it would have consequences. Because then, you know, when you're 2-0 up, okay, you could maybe see them scoring one way, a lucky break and, you know, getting forward or whatever. But to come back and obviously when we've got the two, it's just that extra layer of security, isn't it?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Then we went on to the 65th minute. Sorry, 65th minute. Three subs were made. Yilmaz come on for Barisic, Suter come on for Goldson, and Arfield come on for Fashion Jr. How did you think that changed the game, Dave?
I thought it was good to get some fresh legs on, to be honest, and give Yilmaz, Ridvan Yilmaz, is that his first name or his second name? I still don't know. We'll just call him Ridvan or Yilmaz. But yeah, and good John Suter, you know. So yeah, I thought at 2-0, you know, to be honest, I thought the game's dead. That was, you know, unless something, it was a miracle, which didn't come. So it was good to see Yilmaz, and you can see immediately, I think, as Mark's already suggested, that you can see that Yilmaz is a different type of player from Borna. You know, and in terms of the movement, Borna's is, I think, Mark says boring. I would just say, you know, maybe predictable would be kinder. But so you know, they kind of what you're getting from Borna on most occasions. You know, sometimes your surprises by cutting inside. I think Yilmaz has that. You know, he's got a kind of wider repertoire. You can see a couple of runs into the box looking for, you know, someone to slide it through to him. So yeah, it will be interesting to see how this goes in the longer term. We just obviously need boys to stay fit, but that's what Michael Beale's been looking for, isn't it? Competition for these places. So maybe Borna needs someone breathing down his neck just to keep him on his toes and keep the performances up. So, you know, obviously horses for courses for different games. You know, we might see Ridvan as a better fit for that particular game. John Suter just slotted in like he had been there for a wee while, because we took Connor off. I thought they'd have to put a snatch squad on to get Connor off the pitch, because you know he likes to play every minute. Jeez, I'm not, but he did quite gracefully left the pitch without wrestling him to the ground. And John Suter just kind of slipped in and pretty much normal service resumed. And I think in the case of Arfield, I think, is a player who we probably don't appreciate enough, because when he did come on and you see the runs that he makes and the movement that he actually brings, and how he it was different from what we had been watching previously. So I'm going to have to maybe send Scott a wee note saying, apologising for some of the comments I've made about, like, because you see that he does bring something different. And eventually, you know, it pays off by, you know, him being in the box to be in the right place at the right time and popped in the third. But you could see that the movement prior to that, just the different aspect that Scott Wright brings. So in that respect, you know, it was good. We freshened things up a bit, brought some fresh legs on, something which was a wee bit different from what we initially had. And you have to say that Michael Beale pretty much called it okay, because, you know, it was, you know, Suter just replaced like for like, and Ridvan and Scott Arfield just kind of mixed things up a bit. So mission accomplished.
Yeah, going on to the 87th minute, had you got the ball, had you come on and Morelos came on, I think we're about 7 minutes to go. And no, I actually thought Hadji made quite a difference. I thought Hadji done quite a good thing, few things when he was on. And it was him that cut inside and set Cantwell free for Arfield. How'd you see that goal, Curry?
I don't know about anybody else, if you guys noticed, but do you think Hadji looks a bit slighter than he did before he went in for the injury? Obviously, I mean, body mass is, he was never ever good at bounced off players, but I think he looked offy slight. He didn't look very muscly at all. Was that just me?
No, I think other people mentioned it on the private chat that he looked a bit slimmer. I mean, I suppose he's you need to build himself up. I mean, he'll not have been able to do much gym work either. If he's injured, he'll just be resting. And,
yeah, just something on the water, Stevie. But on the substitutions, I mean, you see, I think Yilmaz did bring something to the team. Suter, he never had much to do, but he managed to. I think there was one thing I did take note of when the boy was coming down the left hand side, the wing, and Suter came in and just disposed of the ball right away and then put a good pass through to, I think it was Tavernier. I'm not too sure if that was the one that actually led up to the actual goal, for Tavernier, the own goal. But the thing with the second goal was, if you notice, the ball that Tav put in was very good, because it was getting nowhere near any Rangers players. And the poor boy just stuck his foot out, and he couldn't have scored a better goal if he tried. So, the second goal was a bit near when, let me think, Hadji and Morelos came on. Morelos had four incidents in the 7 minutes he came in. He lost the ball twice. He made one pass out to the wing. Then there was a wee bit of a smash in the penalty area where he fluffed the ball. And on the after game presser, Bill had said about he needs a better performance. And I think that's evident, because I thought in the 7 minutes he was on, he contributed next to nothing. I just think that I'm surprised that I don't think anybody came out and asked. Somebody will need to correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe somebody in the chat knows. Did any of these guys, the journalists that were there, did they even ask him if the contract with Seville is even true? Has that been asked? Because I'll tell you what, with Morelos on, I think it solidifies his performance today, how much he wants to be at Rangers. Because that was a Camara performance for Morelos today. That's what I think anyway.
Well, he only had about 7 minutes, I think. So I mean, he had I think, I don't know whether it's the same incident you're talking about, but he had a shot at goal. So, I mean, it was a good save by the keeper. It wasn't really, you can't really blame Morelos for missing it. But if you want to, we'll take the chance to go on to Morelos for that. As you said, Beale said at the press conference that he didn't know anything about it. He says it's maybe a discussion we'll have next week. But what do you think? Do you think that's a good move for Morelos? Do you think it's a good move for Rangers, Bill?
To go to Sevilla? A good move for Morelos, I would suppose, to be able to play in La Liga if Sevilla managed to stay up this season. We'll get nothing for him, obviously. But then I think we only paid about £1 million for Morelos, didn't we? So, you know, if we had more money's worth out of him, I think we probably have. I don't know. I think about Morelos 18 months, 2 years ago. Fantastic player for us. Just absolutely sublime, some of the stuff he was doing. Bullying defenders, you know, pulling people all over the park, getting through on goals, scoring goals. He's were top scorer in the Europa League and all of that. But he is a shadow of his former self. Now, he really is. You know, every time I watch the guy, and well, what you mentioned there, he was kind of through on goals. I'd written that it was the 89th minute he got through on goal and did have a good shot that was saved. And then there was a bit of a sort of scramble inside the box. But I didn't really remember him doing anything else apart from that in the game today. And, you know, I'm struggling to remember anything notable in his last several games. I know he's been with the team and Colak's been in, but even before that, I don't think he was really doing anything notable. Even, you know, you think back to when Gio was here, he was miles off it. So is it a good move for Rangers? Or, you know, much as I love Morelos, or maybe I love the memory of how good Morelos was when he was good, it probably is the right move for Rangers not to be sentimental and just to, you know, part ways with Alfie and kind of perhaps cut our losses a little bit. Because I don't think, you know, if we sign him up to another contract now for 3, 4, 5 years, I don't think he's going to be going back to what I would say is peak Morelos. I think this is Morelos now. And he might get himself in shape and up his ideas if he gets a new challenge and plays in a place like Spain where he's maybe going to get that bit of extra time on the ball or, you know, get to play the way he wants to play. But I think, you know, for Morelos in Scotland, it's probably time.
Can I interrupt? Davey, if you don't mind. I'm sorry. I mean, sorry, Bill. It was just something I picked up on in chat there. Now, I heard this as well on the TV. No, I don't know. Davey P, you were at the game, weren't you?
Yeah.
Right. Somebody was saying that when Morelos came on, he was getting booed. Was that for the Raith Rovers fans or was that for the Rangers fans?
I think it was possibly from their supporters. No, no one where I was booed Alfredo Morelos. You know, Alfredo always gets a cheer.
Yeah, I was wondering because... Yeah. No, I was wondering because you know what happened with Lundstrom the last game? When he did get booed, I'm just wondering that's get a bad trend if it was him getting booed for the Rangers fan. So I've just wondered.
You know, because Morelos is the we love to hate figure. You know, he's the guy that they all target. You know, and Alfredo, being the arsehole that he is, you know, sometimes reacts to that. You know, when you know, kind of plays the Bond villain role, which they've all set him up for, rather than just laughing at them. So, no, there was some booze. I think that was coming from the Raith Rovers fans. That was
right. I just wanted to clear that up, mate, because it was just somebody on chat had said about the booing.
Yeah,
so I wonder.
Todd Cantwell, you know, got a wee dose of them booing. You know, when after he'd had a wee altercation with one of them. You know,
that's how you know he's a baller, Davey. But the opposition
starts booing them. The Raith Rovers supporters, you know, had very little to shout about in terms of what Raith Rovers were doing. So they just kind of latch on to whatever, you know, they can on the pitch in terms of making their feelings known. No, but no, Alfredo was... I think Bill's just called it correctly in terms of, you know, I think it's time to kiss and wave bye-bye, you know, because we've had one money's worth from him, you know. The times we know we've had to go through 4 qualifying rounds for the Europa League and, you know, away goals and Feyenoord and Porto, Benfica, you know, Alfredo's more than given us £1 million back. So there's no way, you know, with the present level of Alfredo Morelos, are we going to get, are we going to justify a salary of 30, 35, I don't know, whatever he's looking for, but it's not going to be 1 million miles from there. So I think it's possibly just time to part on good terms so that when Morelos does come back in 10 years, we can all give him a hug rather than abuse him. Or we'll get the Raith Rovers fans down to do that for us.
I would agree with you to a point, Dave, but Morelos is really funny because he does switch off. And I don't mean for one game. I mean, if you think of it, was it the year before 55? It just, at Christmas, we were in front of the top of the league at Christmas, and they went to Dubai, and he came back, and he never tried a leg after that, and we ended up losing the league. And then you had all the sendings off that he was doing, which was crazy things. And so, I mean, he has cost us quite a lot as well, so, and trophies, I think. But, yeah, he's one guy. I mean, I love him. When he's on his game, he's absolutely brilliant. But when he takes that, yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to do my best today, which I don't understand really from any professional footballer that they do that. But no, that's the way I think about it. And I think it's, as you say, it's time that he goes and moves on. I think it's best for Rangers, and I think it's the best thing for Alfie. But certainly hope that we bring in another player that can fill the role, and somebody that doesn't switch off the way he does. Well, one thing, we're talking about the Raith Rovers supporters, one thing that we could hear them singing was because of the Union Bears. Now, I've got a letter here from the Union Bears had sent out a statement, and it said Union Bears had planned to display various legitimate message banners at today's match, highlighting different issues surrounding our club and support. Prior to the match, Police Scotland and Rangers FC jointly removed these materials without our knowledge and blocked access to regular match day materials. From Rangers FC, this is a clear breakdown of trust and attempt to silence our group valid concerns. As a consequence, we made the difficult decision to remove active support and not enter the ground as a group. This attempt to suppress the feelings amongst the Rangers support will not be successful and only stands to confirm the concerns that the fans hold. Union Bears, no surrender. Curry, what do you think?
Right. Oh, God, this is going to get me into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. This could be my last pod, guys.
Mark, I'm warning you, Bree. Mark, don't say anything until your lawyer gets here.
I don't care. I don't need a lawyer. What they going to do? What are they going to say about me? Right. I've got no affiliation with the Union Bears at all. I know a few of the guys in my area. They're Union Bears, and they're just young boys the way I used to be when I was their age. Rangers daft and just want to go out there and make sure that everybody knew that I was a Rangers man. That's all I cared about. At the games, Union Bear does my fucking head in sometimes. It's the same song over and over again, and the bang, bang, bang. It's just, it gets repetitive, right? But that's what they do. They bring the atmosphere, and that's what you want. Now, our last year and a half now, we've been talking about this board and how shite they've been and how they've been treating fans. Now, they go and they pick on the biggest fan base that there is at the club, and it's over a non-league. Now, I've only seen one of the banners, and it was against the Ross Wilson. That was it. Now, I don't know what it was about the police. Now, as far as I'm aware, there was a few... What word could I use that's no derogatory? They were scummer there. And they treated their fans like cattle. They had the horses in, backing them, basically cattling the fans in. And the Bears were quite right to turn around and say something against it. Now, whether it was swear words or bad language they used, if that's what they're scared about, right, fair enough, they can put that away. But the only one I seen was about Ross Wilson. And if this board are going to protect and they're going to be immune to criticism, it's a bad day for this club, because there'll be more fans that's going to go with the Union Bears' thoughts on what they want to say and how, because they're saying the exact same thing as we're saying, than they will with this board, because we've heard all the bullshit for the board. We've heard all this stuff that they've lied to us about. Contracts not being signed. Contracts have been signed. Oh, we've no spoke to them. Oh, this is the best. We're about to be thinking top of the class. We're getting stuck with second fucking best now. And they're quite happy to sit there and take the money. I'm just fed up with this board. And I'm fed up with the folk that are in charge. I know we can't sack them, but they're needing to clear it. The whole bloody lot. All the top ones. They need to get rid of them. And they need the first guy that should be leaving is Ross Wilson, because he should not be in the positions he's at and be on the board at the same time. That's no right. Because that makes him that he can't be sacked, because he is part of the board that makes the decision who's got that job. So for me, Ross Wilson, fuck off, mate. We've had enough of your shite signings. I'm just done with it, and I'm sorry for going mental, guys.
Well, Bill, have you got the same sort of a thoughts, or are you want to dodge out of the question?
No, I'll no dodge out. It was quite scathing there, Curry.
It's okay.
I'm no sensitive, don't worry about it. I'll start with Wilson then, and I'm going to play devil's advocate a wee bit. Ross Wilson and that director of football role, or whatever you want to call that role that he's in. You know, if I'm Ross Wilson, I'm pointing to the things that I have done that's been successful, like bringing in guys like Aribo and Bassey, especially Bassey, making us a big profit on them, good players while they were here. He's had a few that didn't necessarily work out the way that he thought they might. I mean, you know, when you think about when he signed Aaron Ramsey, how bloody excited we all were, that didn't work out. Nobody saw that coming as well. I didn't see that coming. The boy Diallo, we were all really excited about that, and it didn't really work out. I think Wilson gets an awfully hard time. And, you know, he's paid the big bucks. He needs to take the criticism. That's fine. But, no, for me, I'm no as vitriolic about it. I'm no as keen to get rid of Wilson as many people might be, because I think he has brought a lot of decent signings to the club. Brought some shite signings as well, but nobody is going to get them all right. On the Union Bears, I'm no really in favour of any of that banner stuff generally. People are paying their money to go and take a seat in the stadium, so entirely entitled to do it. I just think that as Rangers, we need to be a bit more dignified and a bit classier. We need to be having these types of discussions. We need to have some sort of forum to have these types of discussions between the fans and the board. Obviously, we don't have that, and that's where we're going wrong at the moment. But that's, I think, the model we need to pursue. I think putting banners out in the stadium saying things about the board, you know, it's like what the other mob do. That's what they do, as far as I'm concerned. We shouldn't be doing that. I know what Mark's saying about they're all younger guys and the Rangers staff and all that. Totally understand. I think the banner stuff, personally, just think is a bit undignified. I don't know what the banners were today. I only saw a picture of the one which was about Ross Wilson, and again, I would struggle to understand why that was removed. That was the only banner, but I've no idea what the other banners might have been, so I don't know. When you're not in possession of all the facts, you can't really comment. That's kind of, I suppose, my thoughts on it. I think, again, you know, Curry, you have to remember with the board, the current board, although they've made a lot of bad decisions, these are guys who have put a lot of their own personal wealth into Rangers, and we wouldn't have been able to sign players or pay players that we have signed and paid without those guys putting their own personal wealth into the club. And if Rangers was trying to be run as a self-sustaining, financially viable, ongoing concern, we'd be struggling a lot more without these guys pumping their own money in and basically writing it off, accepting that they'll never get it back. So I don't agree with everything that the board does. I don't think the board should be immune to criticism, but I do think there needs to be a little bit of stepping back and, you know, looking at the wider picture in terms of what these guys actually are doing. So, Davey, how is that for sitting on the fence, sir?
No, it was quite a good answer. Davey, I think you'll want your opinion on this as well, because I know you're quite into the Union Bears for their atmosphere at the games. What's your points on it?
Well, I think we could spend an hour on this one, because I think the Rangers board, I mean, Bill's correct. These guys have dug into their own money, you know, they've gone into their own pocket and put up money. However, I don't think that gives them a monopoly of wisdom, because they've funded it, because they're just the custodians of the club. If it wasn't them, it would be someone else. So I think Teddy Bears has just put in the comments, you know, the line that, you know, I don't agree with what you say, but I'll defend with my life your right to say it, sort of. I'm paraphrasing him. So when the board start behaving, you know, when they start saying this is a good opinion and that's not a good opinion, and they're the arbiters of what's right and wrong, we're on the road to hell, because the board need to hear it, even if they disagree with it. But because the minute they start stifling, you know, people's views on Rangers, then and only their view matters, then they can stop sending me letters every year to renew my season ticket telling me that, you know, we're the most important people at the club, because clearly that's a load of shite, because they're the most important people at the club. So they get to call, and it just worries me slightly, the fact that they will have sent the police round. So the detail is a wee bit short here as to exactly what happened. But if they're sending someone round to remove banners that the Union Bears have prepared in advance of the game because they don't agree with what the banner says, I think there's a wee kind of Gary Lineker BBC, you know, standoff being built in here, which no party's going to come out of looking, you know, whiter than white. So I think it's probably a lack of communication which has led to the Union Bears and the board. You know, is there any conduit where the Union Bears can make their views known to the board of directors? Would they listen? Do they care? I mean, the worrying sign for me was the Sydney thing, because that just tells me that they're so disconnected from the Rangers support. How they could possibly have a meeting when and discuss this idea and think this is a good idea, we'll go for it, not realising the backlash that would have come from the Rangers support, that they didn't appreciate that as scary movies. For me, that tells me that they are disconnected from the Rangers support. Maybe they need to connect with the Rangers support and short-circuit some of these things where the Union Bears feel the need to put banners up to make their views known. Maybe we should find another way to do it. But as I said, you know, we could be spending another hour going through how this, you know, in terms of the Rangers support and how they react with the board, how they deal with the board, how the board deal with the Rangers support. I think there's room for improvement on both sides, I would suggest.
Okay, yeah, but there's one thing that's certain, that without the Union Bears, I mean, I'm a wee bit like Curry, that drum gets in my chest at times, but without them there, then there's certainly, I mean, you could hear the Raith Rovers supporters today, normal, you wouldn't hear them. So that's, I think it would be a sad thing. On you
one
go.
Other thing, because when the Union Bears didn't show up and we didn't know when we'd entered the ground, they clearly weren't there and we missed them, excuse me. But I'm in the club deck, you know, and I can hear the players shouting. I can hear Tavernier, who's on the right-hand side, you know, in the first half, shouting across the pitch. So that's the impact that it had on it in our atmosphere in terms of the game. So we're pretty much reliant on the Union Bears, you know, to generate, you know, some emotion from the crowd other than, you know, the grumps and groans. So that's the difference that it makes. So I think the board, they'll have watched the game and drawn the same conclusions I have, unless they're completely deluded. So there has to be a solution here where we find some sort of compromise, because if the Rangers, the Union Bears are not on the ground, then Ibrox it's uncomfortable when I can hear the players speak to one another on the pitch.
It's something we've always prided ourselves in, Davey. Is the atmosphere at Ibrox been one of the best in the whole world, basically? And I didn't know anything about that when it was happening during the game when I was watching it. And as I was watching, I'm going, the atmosphere is absolute pish. what's going on? And it wasn't until afterwards we found out about the what happened with the Union Bears. I'm glad the likes of Bill and Davey are on the show the night with me, because I'm a ranty bugger. I dial up to 11, because that's my passion for Rangers. Whereas Bill is very calculated and he can keep the tone perfect, and Davey can say what I want to say. Except he's a lot more eloquent than me, so it sounds better. Where I just go off my head, and everybody's looking at me, what the f- is he talking about?
Well, it's good to have a comment from everybody, and we've all got different ways of coming over and bringing things over. So there's one more point. We're over the hour now, but it's this college problem, no mine. the other point I want to bring up is Malik Tillman. He's coming back next week. He's fit again, coming back next week. Beale says, does he walk back into the team right away? Davey, you want to answer that one first?
Yeah, because we just put John Lundstrom in the stand and get Malik Tillman on. Ta-da! It ain't complicated.
There you go. What do you think, Bill? Does he walk into the team?
I'd like to say in a fucking heartbeat, but I think the way that Beale likes to set his team out, he likes that holding midfielder in there. And so what you're really asking is, can or should Tillman come in and replace Cantwell, who's done really well in the last couple of matches? And for me, it's difficult because I really like both players. I know a lot of people have this opinion of Tillman that he's a bit of a lazy bastard, but he's no, the stats don't back that up at all. Tillman gets tons of interceptions, he's always harrying with the ball and all of that. But you know, so for me it's really difficult, but given that Cantwell's already been in the team and playing well, I don't think it's justified to take him out, because then you're sending that message to the players, well, you know, even if you play well, I'll still drop you. I think, you know, getting on the team sheet next week should depend on you playing well this week. And for that reason, I think we need to keep Cantwell in the team. I don't see Beale, much as I would love to actually just go away a midfield three, a fucking Raskin, Tillman and Cantwell, I don't see Beale doing it personally. And then especially because we play Celtic in a few weeks' time, you know, he's going to be wanting that sort of team ahead of time to be a bit jailed in the midfield, so that when we come into that game, and I don't see him going with a midfield three with kind of Cantwell and Tillman in together.
Okay, now what were you, Curry, for the last one? Don't go in a half hour range.
All right, okay. I'm on the fence for this one, because I agree with David and I can see Bill's point of view. I'd bring him in front of Lonnie every day. Will Beale do it? Probably not. But I don't think he should be replacing Cantwell, because Cantwell's been playing so good. So, but Bill said, what are you going to do? You've got to take off somebody that's playing so well. He's already said that he's going to play the players so that are playing well and play for the jersey. So, he shouldn't be losing his place. So Tillman, a good option off the bench.
Well, obviously the other way was to, you know, you've got actually two up front, Sakala and Colak. I don't think Sakala is that good going through the middle. I prefer him out wide. So the other would be play Tillman as a number 10 in the middle and drop Sakala. I suppose that's another way you could go. But anyway, we're long over time now, guys, so I'll need to wrap it up, and I'll give you all your goodbyes. And what you can do is also give me, I believe it's Inverness, Callan Thistle, Celtic, Rangers and Falkirk or Ayr United, which team you would like. So wind up and give me what team you would like. Curry, start you.
Right. Thanks for having me on. It's been a good laugh tonight, even with my rants. Thanks everybody for watching and having to put up with all my garbage. A big congratulations as well to Colin and his missus. It was nice to find out that they're getting engaged today. I just want to advise everybody that Colin's new partner, her my family, are putting in a GoFundMe for a new guide dog. So if you would like to contribute for that, because apart from the old ones, we've done very well. I don't care who we get. I'd love to see them in a final. I'd love to, because it gives more minutes to the players that are coming in, more minutes in the field until we play them. But I don't mind. I don't care. A lot of people are worried about we don't want to lose our treble to them in the final. If we play to our capabilities, it shouldn't be a problem no matter where we meet them. So I don't really mind, mate. I don't care who we meet.
Bill?
Aye, give me that lot in the semi-final, I think. Give me a repeat of last year's Arfield with the goal. I can't even remember who got the second goal. It was a sort of Sakala stroke home goal thing, wasn't it? But I'll take an exact repeat of that any day in the semi-final this year. Thank you very much.
Okay, it's good having you on, Bill. Davey, you want to wind up and say how you would prefer it to go? A second division team or against them?
No, it's going to be that mob. I want them in the semi because we can put them in their place and look forward to playing Ayr United in the final, and that will actually give me a chance of a ticket. So, pretty selfish, I know, but hey-ho.
Okay. Sorry, that was my somebody from the the Gallon Few for getting a message through on my telephone. Okay, now I'll wind up. Well, I'll just say that I'd prefer Celtic in the final. I would like a big final, so that's the way I would prefer to go. And now I'll wind up. I'll just remind you that for members that pay £1 a month, there's a news every day, plus the fact we're going to do 10 greatest captains. And I think there's over a few places on Facebook and follow, you can fill in a formulaire of your 10 best, who you think the captains, best captains have been. Okay, now so I'll wind up and I'll say thanks for coming on and have a good week. Sorry for the beginning, but it was a bit crazy. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.